Did you know Satan has a secret society? We're going to talk about it.
Last time we basically did what I call the shot across the bow, about as blunt as you could make it. If that was the only study that you were part of or you watched online, hopefully it sent the clarion obvious call, a Christian warning. No Christian, no church, nobody should have any business messing with this group. And we were very blunt scripturally with that, in love, and that if you are professing to be a Christian or if you are a church and you think this is perfectly fine, you need to repent, you need to run, and you need to get right with God.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan talks to Pastor Billy Crone about the world's largest and most well-known secret society that is active in the world and the church. You may know friends and family who look to this organization as a savior who performs good deeds and who talks about their quest for spiritual enlightenment. But it is not what it seems. Here is today's program.
Welcome to the program. So glad you can join me today. Say, because of the holiday weekend, I'm playing a best of program today with Pastor Billy Crone. Hope you enjoy it.
What happens is when a Mason joins the lodge, he first enters into what is called the Blue Lodge. And the very first thing that every Mason is required to do is to go through a initiation ceremony. It's called the Entered Apprentice Degree. And in that initiation ceremony, he will be stripped of much of his clothing. A blindfold will be placed over his eyes. A noose will be placed around his neck. And he will be brought to the door of the Masonic Lodge. And there a person will greet him and usher him in. And there he will come before an altar. And every Mason stands before an altar. And there behind the altar is a man called the Worshipful Master of the Lodge.
Today we find that when the new member joins the organization, he kneels, he's blindfolded, he's bare-breasted, and the Master of the Lodge touches his left breast with a sharply pointed sword.
And they are then required, with this blindfold over their eyes, to take a blood oath, not to reveal the secrets of Masonry, or they will lose their life. Every Mason puts his thumb to his throat, and he swears a blood oath, not to reveal the secrets of Masonry, or he'll have his throat cut from ear to ear, his bowels ripped open and given to the beasts of the field. And these pagan blood oaths are taken to swear them to secrecy so they will not reveal the secrets of what they will learn as they progress through the Masonic Lodge. Now, most men will go into the Scottish Rite and progress on through 32 degrees, and in each one of those degrees, they give worship to different gods and deities, Egyptian gods, Persian gods, Greek gods.
Well, I'm glad you can join me for the hour. I'm sure that got you curious about this hour because we're going to talk about something just a little bit different. And that would be the topic of Freemasonry. And why bring it up and spend valuable time on it? Because it is rooted in darkness and because many Christians see that they can be both a Mason and a Christian when in fact it is a part of the Antichrist system. It has about 5 million members. There are some church denominations who don't have 5 million members. We'll be blunt this hour. Masonry is satanic. They teach Lucifer is light. Isn't that enough to convince the skeptic? But their God, well, it's a different God and it's a different Bible. The key, I think, is it's a different allegiance. Some churches are enthusiastic. And by the way, I would say that this is an occult secret society and it's present in both the world and the church. So I hope some of that has at least got your curiosity up a little bit in case you might be thinking, well, maybe this isn't very relevant. We're going to convince you this hour that it is indeed very relevant. If you know of someone who is a part of this, my guest, Pastor Billy Crone, will suggest you tell them to do three things, the three R's, repent, renounce, and run. Pastor Billy Crone heads Get a Life Media, pastors Sunrise Bible Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. He's been at three of my Understanding the Times conferences. Pastor Crone, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jan. It's always great to be on.
You have a strange background, and I only say that because God used it to equip you to understand some strange things in these last days. Give us the Reader's Digest version of why you can intelligently speak into issues like this hour and why you have a background to understand these things.
Unfortunately, before I got saved, I was involved in, to use the phrase, the dark side. I was a mocker and a scoffer and a blasphemer of God and Christ and Christianity. I hated Christians. I thought they were a bunch of duped idiots that had to have a book tell them what to do. Very early on in my teenage years, I made a pact with Satan. Unfortunately, within 3 months of that, he showed his character. He's not only a liar, he's a murderer. I tried to kill myself 3 different times. That didn't stop me, though. I kept going down further. I had a roommate that turned me on to Satanism itself, Anton LaVey, the Satanic Bible, doing the rituals suggested in that. I had a coworker that turned me on to New Age, getting involved in every false path under the sun. I get to be God, what's right on eternal matters and truth, etc. Also in that, I was encouraged to not only get yourself into an altered state of consciousness so that you can connect and be possessed by these spirits, which is demonic possessions. I'm not here to glamorize those days. I would never wish that on anyone. But I've been there, Jan. I saw the apparitions with my own eyes. I have flirted, danced with demonic teachings, demons themselves. It's not a game. Satan and demons are real, and they're doing everything they can to lead people astray from Jesus Christ. They almost had me, but by God's grace and mercy, he used that demonic terror to lead me to him in 1993. But their modus of operandi is come up with as many different false paths other than the one and only path, Jesus Christ, to have people join them in the lake of fire.
But this is a society that, oh, come on now. They do a lot of good things. I mean, look at the Shriners. Look at Children's Hospital. They're all about good works. Well, I almost stumbled on the words, they're good works, because that's in there for a reason, but talk to us about it.
And that's the smokescreen. And let me just give you an analogy, because it's the exact same modus of operandi again. Do you know anybody else that really is zealous for works that rhymes with, let's say, Mormonism?
Well, there are some Protestant denominations, for that matter, within Catholicism as well, that stress this very heavily.
Exactly. But see, I'm not against good works. As Christians, we need to be Christ-like. We need to reach out to other people. But in the cults, this is not why they are doing that. We do it out of love for Jesus Christ, and we want to share his love with people, ultimately so that they can be saved like us by his grace and mercy. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. In these works-based false gospel systems, like Mormonism, like Jehovah's Witnesses, and believe it or not, like Freemasonry, the reason why they push these good deeds isn't because they're doing it because they're so altruistic. It's a part of their false works-based gospel system that tells them they have to do these deeds, Jan, if they're going to make it to, in Freemasonry's case, this is what they call it, the Grand Lodge in the Sky.
Mm-hmm. You have a 10-part teaching on Freemasonry, only available as we speak at getalifemedia.com. But so that my audience can better understand this hour, I want to play a short clip of a portion from one of your teachings just to get a better overview. Again, it's just that. It's about a 4-minute overview, and then we can come back. And I hope my audience will better understand the balance of the hour.
Welcome to the world of Freemasonry. Freemasons laid the cornerstone of America, well, at least some of its most iconic structures. So what is Freemasonry? Simply put, it's the world's oldest and largest fraternity. If you want to be a Mason, you can petition a local lodge for membership. You'll need to demonstrate good character and belief in some sort of supreme being. Oh, and in almost all lodges, it's men only. Next, you're up for a vote, explains former New York State Grand Master James Sullivan.
The lodge votes to accept you, and then you have the 3 degrees that you go through.
Once you earn the 3rd degree, and yes, that's where the phrase comes from, you can join any number of Masonic offshoots. Take Brent Morris. He's a 33rd degree Mason and a historian at the House of the Temple for the Supreme Council of the Scottish Rite of the Southern Jurisdiction. You know, it's that big building in Washington, D.C.
This isn't like the Masonic Vatican, but it's an important building.
It's an important building. I'm absolutely right. It's one branch of Freemasonry in the United States, and that's our headquarters building.
Inside, the Temple Lodge room is a stunner. And downstairs, there's this.
This is a flag that Buzz Aldrin took to the moon with him.
This flag, Supreme Council 33, Southern Jurisdiction,
went to the moon.
Wow.
Now, if tiny hats and small cars are your thing, then there are the party animals of Freemasonry, the Shriners. You may know them better for their 22 children's hospitals, where patients don't have to pay a cent. The Masons are philanthropic. And then there are members like those in Colonial Lodge number 1821 of Washington, D.C. Most of them are in their 20s, and some attracted to Freemasonry by Dan Brown novels and movies like National Treasure.
And they formed a new brotherhood called the Freemasons in honor of the builders of the Great Temple.
Who here was sort of drawn by the mystery?
I mean, I'll confess part of it.
Yeah, I think it's all, yeah. I think all it's a combination of history, tradition, and mystery as well.
You know there's ritual, but you don't know what it is.
Exactly.
And that,
how can you not be?
That's alluring.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reason people join Freemasonry and not the Rotarians.
So what about those secrets? What would happen if I found out the secret handshake and I weren't a Mason? You wouldn't have to kill me?
The secrets of a Mason represent my integrity as a man. I took a promise that I would not tell you what the secrets of a Mason are.
Also a big secret, the meetings. No non-Masons or cameras are allowed, but St. John's Lodge No. 1 of New York City agreed to give us a glimpse of one. For meetings, Masons dress up in their Sunday best and, just like the original stonecutters, wear aprons. At the center of any lodge room is an altar.
And all the activities of the lodge take place about the altar.
And then there are the ceremonies. Each one teaches a moral lesson related to the legend of one Hiram Abiff, the architect of King Solomon's temple. They can be a little unusual, as pointed out in this recruitment video.
Even while blindfolded, try to concentrate on what you are asked, what is said to you, and what is happening around you. Everything will be explained to you in later sections of the degree.
When a candidate comes in through the door, he's blindfolded because symbolically he's in a state of darkness, because Masonry is all about moving from darkness into Masonic light.
That it's about being unenlightened and then enlightened?
That's right.
As for what happens after that, well, that's a secret. It's membership a who's who of world history. George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, Winston Churchill, Mozart, Davy Crockett, Franklin Roosevelt, Harry Houdini, Gerald Ford, Henry Ford, John Wayne, even Colonel Sanders.
If you join me late, you are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell on the line from Las Vegas, Pastor Billy Crone. Pastor Crone, if Colonel Sanders was a part of this, has to be okay with me.
Boy, isn't that ironic?
Yeah.
As you know, my dislike of chicken, go figure, he pops up on the list.
Yeah, he does. There was one line in there I want to ask you about. I knew a lot of what they were talking about only because I researched it here for our programming. But that is the young people, a group of college kids, said, well, we were drawn to this by the Dan Brown novels. Can you explain that?
That's the, oh, no, there's a secret that the Catholics are hiding from us. The real account of what's going on with Christianity or the Catholic Church, the Vatican. And basically, if anybody's ever done any research on that, there's no historical evidence of the case that he lays. But it's enough suspicion to say that they got it wrong. These guys got it right. So it encourages people, again, to go down a false path. But I would add a couple other things that is encouraging young people to go along that route. And Jan, that is Hollywood and Disney. This is coming from the Freemasons in the research I did. Probably one of the more recent huge upticks that Freemasons got, specifically in younger communities, was after the release of the movie National Treasure with Nicolas Cage in it. And they made more than one. And then Disney came out with a reboot of a series on their Disney Plus app, again, promoting Masonry, the secrets. It's just a great society. See, they're here to uncover the truth that's being hidden from us. They paint them as a good picture, but it gets people involved in that, and it works. It's called propaganda.
Get a hold of Pastor Crone. If you want to disagree, debate on this issue anyway, getalifemedia.com, getalifemedia.com. Pastor's Sunrise Bible Church in Las Vegas. So you say they are on a quest for spiritual enlightenment. That's hard for me to wrap my brain around. They often have a Bible present in their ceremonies. And by the way, you have to believe in a supreme being that is open to interpretation by the candidate, but you got to have some sort of a belief in a higher power. Their goal is immortality of soul. I think their roadmap to that is going to be through being a good Mason. But so far, what I've described sounds like, First Christian Church down the street.
Exactly. But the problem is you got to get behind the vernacular.
Yeah.
Again, to go back to the other analogy of other false paths, false works-based gospels, you ask a Mormon, do you believe in Jesus? They'll say, absolutely. But you got to go behind the scenes and go like, okay, well, who's your Jesus? Oh, he's the spirit brother of Lucifer. Okay, you got the wrong Jesus. You asked the Jehovah's Witness. You believe in Jesus? Oh, yeah. Okay, well, who's your Jesus? Oh, he's the Archangel Michael. And it's the same thing with Freemasonry. Jan, they will say that, oh, hey, I went there and it's got to be Christian because there was a Bible on that altar that I did my bloody oath. Okay, well, stop right there. We need to talk about the bloody oath, Jan. How you can get beyond that and profess to be a Christian is beyond me. Okay, they got a Bible there, but keep reading. That doesn't mean that that makes it Christian. How many people do you know that have a Bible in their house? Does that just automatically make you a Christian? No. Plus, if you keep researching, they are one of the biggest proponents of pushing for a one world religion and the denial of the exclusiveness of Jesus Christ being the only way, John 14:6, that he is the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by him. So it's up to the person what that God is. You want to put a Bible there if you believe in a God, which again doesn't save you. James 2, even the demons believe in God and they shudder. Or admittedly, you could put the Quran on the altar if that's your belief in your particular, quote, God.
But Pastor Crone, do you think they know they're helping to build the Antichrist system?
The further you get into it, if you're honest with yourself, you're going to have a inclination to run because you know something's wrong, or you really believe what they promote, that they are a secret society that through their teachings, their methodologies, and their good works that they stress, it's the ultimate spiritual self-improvement program. You don't need Jesus. In fact, they actually believe that Jesus, how he got his powers, was he was able to tap into the secret teachings of Freemasonry.
I don't think it was around that early. My research, more like 1300s, 1400s.
And that's even stretching it, Jan. You're spot on. It's a lie. They make their history up. There is no direct correlation that they want to go back all the way to Solomon's Temple and this Hiram Biff guy, and this is where they get their. There is no correlation. The date themselves that they look at, quote, the beginnings of Freemasonry is in 1717 in Europe, yeah. In London. That's their own date.
And that's how it's going to come to America, is through England. Let me just go down, not quite a different path quite yet, and I'm just trying to seize the moment here in limited time, Pastor Crone, because you related two encounters with Masons / Masonry in churches. That's what's going to blow some people away, because you say Freemasonry runs some churches. You say their ceremonies are in some churches, and yet this is an occult secret society in the world and obviously creeping into the church. What were your encounters with Masonry in churches?
I'll give you a couple of real quick ones. Number one, one of my senior pastorates, within the very first month of my being there, I just preached a message on the uniqueness of Christ and the cross and Christianity as opposed to different religions in the world to show the uniqueness of Christianity. I didn't go into any crazy deep stuff, but just a polemic study. Here's what the Bible teaches. Here's the message of the cross. Here's who Jesus is. Well, here's what Buddhism says, and here's what Islam teaches. You know, I just went down the list. Jan, I didn't make it into the afternoon. I had one of the, quote, pillars of that church wife called me and said that her husband was irate with me, and can you come out and talk to him? I said, okay, fine. And he had a problem with, he said, you shouldn't be preaching on stuff like that, talking about other religions. So, of course, I'm a Christian. He's supposed to be a Christian. And I'm arguing him from the scriptural point. Jesus says, John 14:6, he's the only way to heaven. How am I being a loving Christian if I don't point out these other false paths that aren't just leading people not to heaven? What's the consequence? It's called hell. How can I be a loving person if I don't warn people that these paths are false paths? And of course, he has no answer because he's not operating from the scripture. We hemmed and hawed, went back around, and I just kept going back with scripture. He couldn't prove his point, obviously, because it was wrong. That was my first introduction to Freemasonry in the church. And Jan, the war was on for the next 4 years at that place.
Sure.
And again, I didn't catch it at that time. I just got there. I've been on there for a month. But then I began to find out that these, quote, pillars in this particular church, and dare I say in the other churches in the town, they were Freemasons.
Okay.
And then when you understand Freemasonry, they push not only for a coming one world government, and we need to follow a one world leader, a Luciferian leader who's going to bring in utopia to the planet, but they're one of the biggest proponents, again, of a one world religion, yeah. Not just New Age, not just the Vatican, not just the Pope. But Freemasonry has the same belief system. That's why he reacted the way
sure.
he did, is because in their belief system, you can't say that only one way is one way. And this is in the church, Jan.
All right, so what we're saying then is witchcraft is in the church, because that's what you're talking about is witchcraft. Look, it's in very few churches, but it's in enough that you have had the personal experience. And My understanding is they're also going to teach that what they represent will help you learn to be a better you. Well, that to me sounds like the prosperity crowd. So they have something in common there as well. Talking to Pastor Billy Crone, getalifemedia.com, you made an excellent point, and you did it with a short video, which I'm going to play. It's less than 3 minutes, and here you've got a former Freemason on one side explaining Freemasonry and a former witch on the other side explaining witchcraft, and the parallels are stunning and I think almost terrifying for anybody who's listening who may be a part of this Masonry movement.
Some of the parallels between Freemasonry and witchcraft show such a similarity that it cannot possibly be coincidental. Similarities in ritual, wording, and symbolism are so close in several instances that it clearly suggests a common origin. To examine this possibility, I spoke with a number of former Masons and compared their Blue Lodge initiations with the experiences of former occultists.
In the initiation in Freemasonry, we had to be recommended by another Mason.
Well, in order to join witchcraft, you have to be first screened. You have to be recommended by somebody currently in witchcraft.
Well, when I was initiated, I was blindfolded and bound by a rope, and on your bare chest was thrust the point of a spear.
In witchcraft, we were initiated through a very involved ritual, initiation ceremony, wherein the candidate was led blindfolded, bound by a rope, to the edge of the magic circle.
And the rope is around your neck and your lid forward, and up front in the eastern end of the building is a person who's a worshipful master, and you kneel down before him as if he were a god.
You were met by the high priest or high priestess at that time, usually with a sword to your chest.
When I went to enter the lodge, a sharp object was put to my left breast, and I was warned that should I reveal any of the secrets of Freemasonry, to know what to expect.
When you're presented before the high priest, a sword is held against your chest, and you actually take a blood oath, promising to remain faithful to the secrets of witchcraft.
Well, when you are in the room, this blindfold is taken away from you, and this is a time when they say that you're coming from darkness into light.
During the initiation ceremony, the initiate is led by the lieutenant of the high priest and is challenged at the edge of the circle by someone saying, "Who goes there?" And the answer is, "One from the world of darkness."
In Masonry, the prayers are ended with, "So mote it be."
Oh, and one of the other aspects of, or distinctives of the craft, was that we would always end any spell or ritual where we released the power, this is where the power was released, with the word, "So mote it be."
I was intrigued to discover that witchcraft and Freemasonry had so much in common. Freemasonry goes so far as to actually call Lucifer God. In the words of Sovereign Pontiff of Universal Freemasonry, Albert Pike, "Yes, Lucifer is God, and unfortunately, Adonai, the Hebrew God of the Bible, is also God. And the true and pure philosophical religion is the belief in Lucifer, the equal of Adonai. But Lucifer, God of light and God of good, is struggling for humanity against Adonai, the god of darkness and evil."
Billy Crone, my understanding is Freemasonry also calls itself the craft. Am I right?
Yeah, because you're coming from the same root.
Yes. To me, it's clearly demonic / satanic. Again, so the church connection, and maybe it should be of no surprise, here we are in the last days, a time of falling away of sound doctrine in the church. And you and I were discussing this here before the program, how so much has slipped into the church since around the 1990s through the seeker church movement, the feel good, the purpose driven, and lots of things came in that shouldn't have. The music totally changed, drove some people away from church, the music alone, not to mention doctrine. So things like this probably got a greater grip, or did they start in the church even 50 years ago or more?
I would say if you're dealing with a church that has a mentality that's ecumenical, that leans towards, you know, there's more than one path to heaven, that's a Freemasonry belief. If you're dealing with a church that stresses the mentality of the day is learn to be a better you, that's the core of Freemasonry. Then you got to ask yourself, where is this coming from? It's certainly not biblical, but why is it being promoted in the church? And people need to wake up and realize that these guys, they've been around for a couple centuries now, Jan. And believe it or not, it started in England, their date, not mine, 1717. But when the colonists came over here, the Pilgrims and the Puritans and the colonists, you know, it's about about Christianity. Read the Mayflower Compact. It's pretty obvious. But when they started to say the British are coming, the British are coming, really another warning was they brought Freemasonry with them. And then it began to make its underpinnings. But they've been going into churches, and they're still there to this day. I'll give you another story that I've encountered directly. In one of my internships as a young Christian, I was at a Baptist church, and they asked me to start up a youth group. So my wife and I did. We began to realize that the youth of that church were already committed to these other, quote, community organizations. And so I'm like, well, why can't you support the youth group as a church? You're Christians. I began to find out, Jan, that they were a part of DMLA, which is the Freemason boys youth group to train them to be future Freemasons. And the other one was Job's Daughters. There's also another female one called Rainbow Girls. And I'm going like, wait a second, as I begin to do my research, that's Freemasonry stuff. And so they finally at least came to the Christian youth group that we started, but they refused to give up DMLA for Job's Daughters. And then even after I'm saying, guys, that's Freemasonry. It's not even Christianity. And then I started getting flack from the parents. And I'll say this, Jim. We had an unfortunate thing that happened. One of the youth members was on a trip and unfortunately had drowned. And with a lot of the youth that were there, they saw that event take place. It was horrible. But out of that, that very next week, when I met that Sunday with the youth group, I shared the gospel. At least 10 of them received Christ their Savior. So I'm totally stoked. I can't wait to share the report. God makes beauty out of ashes. I go up there and the pastor said, hey, Billy's got an announcement to make, something exciting going on with the youth group. And I told him, I said, hey, just want to let you guys know that 10 of our youth just prayed to receive Christ their Savior. You could have heard a pin drop, Jam. And I mean that in not a good sense. They were mad. They were incensed. My child is just fine. They're okay. Because again, that church I learned was flooded with Freemasonry. And the DMLA, the Job's Daughters, had become that church's youth group.
Wow.
I didn't know what was up with that pastor, why he allowed it. But my point is, they got mad at me when their children got saved and received Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, because Freemasonry teaches they don't need Jesus because they're learning to be good people. It's self-improvement. And they got mad at me.
You said it, self-improvement, doing good works. When I come back, Pastor Billy Crone, I want to talk a little bit about these secret signs and even handshakes. Now, folks, this may sound silly, even conspiratorial, but it's a way of life for millions of people. And you may know some, and I think you need some greater insights on this. We'll do that in just a minute or two. Don't go away.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. In this age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Olive Tree Ministries and Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell's new book, When Jesus Returns, Living in Expectation of the End Times, is now available. The book is a compilation of some of the best messages given at her Understanding the Times conferences in suburban Minneapolis over 20 years. Contributors include Amir Sarfati, Jack Hibbs, Mark Hitchcock, Ed Heinzen, Jeff Kinley, and many more. And all examine these last days with hope and anticipation. Find the book in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call our office Central Time, Monday through Friday, at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Or get on our newsletter list. When Jesus Returns, Living in Expectation of the End Times, is encouraging, uplifting, and is filled with messages that will fill you up and build you up, even in perilous times. Order yours today.
You think what Klaus and the gang has been doing since 1971, 50 years, putting plants and every government around the world was bad enough, Freemasons had a longer head start. They've been doing this for a couple centuries, and they have infiltrated virtually every major government around the world, including our own.
We know you can't always be by a radio, so if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. And then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, on all of our social media, and on his channel, Christian TV. Now here are John Markell and Pastor Billy Crone to wrap up today's programming.
The candidate for Entered Apprentice stands behind the door, waiting to be summoned. He's blindfolded, and there's a noose around his neck with a length of rope trailing behind. His chest is exposed at the left breast, and his left pant leg rolled up. The doorkeeper raps three times and announces that the candidate desires to enter and obtain the privileges of Freemasonry. With that, the candidate is escorted into the lodge by the inner guard. The guard holds the tip of a dagger against the candidate's bare chest and asks if he feels anything. Next, the candidate kneels before the head of the lodge, the worshipful master, and they engage in a ritual question and answer. He's led by the rope, or cable toe, to an altar with a Bible or other holy book. Standing with his heels together to form a square, the candidate now kneels. He places his right hand on the Bible and with his left presses the point of a compass against his chest. He swears to forever conceal and never reveal any of the secret arts, parts, or points of the hidden mysteries of Freemasonry. If he breaks that promise, he binds himself to having my throat cut across, my tongue torn out, my body buried in the sands of the sea at low tide. The assembled brothers rise and give the sign of the Entered Apprentice, right hand held palm down beneath the chin, with the elbows straight out. The master asks the candidate what he seeks. He replies, the light. The master strikes his gavel, and the hood is removed. Now the candidate is shown three sacred objects, the holy book, the square, and the compass. The master reminds him that he faces terrible retribution should he ever betray the organization's secrets. Next comes instruction in the secret hand sign, or grip, and the secret word, Boaz. The candidate receives his Masonic badge and the symbolic tools, a gavel and a ruler. The candidate leaves to change clothes and returns to receive the final charges. He's again warned he must never reveal any secrets of the Brotherhood. Secrecy, if you haven't noticed, is a big deal. The new brother has entered the first grade of Freemasonry. Above it are two more, Fellow Craft and Master Mason. Each has its ritual, oath of secrecy, and prescribed horrible punishments.
Welcome back. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell here. Say, as we wind 2024 down this Thanksgiving weekend, I want to thank you, my audience, for listening to Understanding the Times Radio now for 23 years. For standing with us prayerfully and financially. We have some cutting-edge programming being planned for the new year, and I promise you there will be no shortage of issues to talk about. And next week, I'm going to take a look at what it looks like to be a believer in parts of Europe. Our representative, Pastor Josh Schwartz and Ken Michael, recently spent 2 weeks there, and believers in Europe give new meaning to the word remnant. And if you are a part of a thriving church anywhere, count your blessings. Many people are not. And if some of these creepy clips sound intriguing and you'd like to see them, you gain so much more by seeing some of the things we're talking about. Remember, we have a video version of this program. We show you everything that we're talking about. You can access that on our website under radio. You can access it when we're not censored on YouTube, Rumble, Light Source, social media. And we do air on his channel, Christian Television, where you see the full presentation instead of just hearing the clips, which are intriguing, but seeing them is quite an experience in a case like this hour. Joining me for the hour has been Pastor Billy Crone, getalifemedia.com, Pastor Sunrise Bible Church Las Vegas. You hear him on this program many, many times. He's been at three of my conferences, Understanding the Times, and we're talking about a series he has presented on Satan's secret society. And we've been talking about that for the first half. We're going to conclude this half, Pastor Krohn. I did a little tease going out of part one where I referenced the intrigue I have with their secret signs and handshakes. And the reason I even bring it up is I have a whole DVD I made on the New World Order in Bible prophecy, and I looked at what Hollywood and others are doing with all these one-eye signs and a lot of other things that they're doing. Talk to us a little bit about that.
First of all, just because you see somebody that looks like when they're speaking, their hands form a six or an okay sign, that doesn't mean they're a Freemason or they're involved in the occult. I bring that up because I want to balance it out properly, Jan, because believe it or not, I, over the years, half a dozen times now, I have been accused by people that I secretly work for the Illuminati.
Yep, same here, myself as well. Sorry to interrupt, but I just had to say a hearty amen. I understand, brother.
Jan, as you know, I'm an animated speaker. I move around. I use my hands. And so invariably, your hands move, you move around. Because I actually have people say, I looked at this one video of you, and I stopped it at 38 minutes and 23 seconds, and your left hand is given the okay sign. You're part of the occult. And I'm going, first of all, hello. If you know anything about our ministry, we expose the occult over and over again. So why would I work for the occult and then do everything I can under my power to expose them and undermine everything that they're doing, leading people to hell? And then I don't even respond anymore because there's that. Now, with that said, Jim, sometimes these are just natural things and people are just, well, I'll just use a little humor. One guy did respond. I says, listen, if that's really going to be your evidence for judging me and saying I'm a part of the occult because you had the time, which I wish I had, to go through my videos and frame by frame, wait until something came up that you thought was a cult in my hand gestures. At that rate, I bet you if you watch some other videos, I'm going to be giving secret hand signs to the Crips in LA or something. I mean, it's a joke. But with that said, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater because there are, and this is what makes it so hard to talk about this topic. You got people that go in there and everybody's a Freemason or a cultist because they stopped the video at that. And no, now you're over the edge. But don't go the other extreme and act like this stuff doesn't go on. This is carbon copy of occult societies and the occult itself, even with witchcraft, even with Satanism. They have their symbolism and things that they do because it codifies their belief system. Symbols are huge, including with Freemasonry, because it's basically an occult secret society. In fact, I'll read this to you, Jen. This is direct from Freemasonry, and I quote, "Secret handshakes and secret grips are a token of Freemasonry, quote, it's the way members recognize each other in silence." So by definition, they're a what? Secret society. That means people aren't supposed to know what they're really doing behind the scenes. Well, they're out in public. How are you going to know if you got a, quote, brother Mason in the room or wherever you're at? Well, that's where you do the secret handshakes, the secret societies, and that becomes your test. The secret handshakes and the secret stances and gestures are also built into Freemasonry because the teachings and belief and the, quote, brotherhood of Freemasonry supersedes everything in life, including, dare I say, the courts of law, including the Supreme Court, including the Constitution Bill of Rights. And they are bound that if they see another, quote, brother, given the sign of distress, and there's a couple different signs that they'll give, even in a courtroom, that judge, if he is a Freemason, he is bound by the bloody oath. He has to do everything he can to get that guy off. And we show examples of this happening. And you wonder why people higher ups, and you're going like, oh, this guy's going to jail. Oh, he's getting the death penalty. There's no way he's getting. And they're like, how'd that guy get off? And it makes you kind of wonder, Jim. We demonstrate that, again, Freemasonry, you think what Klaus and the gang has been doing since 1971, 50 years, putting plants in every government around the world was bad enough? Freemasonry's had a longer head start. They've been doing this for a couple centuries. And they have infiltrated virtually every major government around the world, including our own. Many of our own presidents were 33-degree Masons, and many of our Supreme Court were Freemasons. And then you were thinking, like, how in the world back in the day could our Supreme Court rule against prayer and reading the Bible in school?
So one of the prominent symbols or gestures is this all-seeing eye, this cover-up one eye. You pick up almost any Hollywood entertainment magazine or periodical, online or hard copy, Billy Crone, and somebody's got one eye covered up intentionally, which apparently then is simply a signal to everybody that, hey, I'm one of these folks. I'm a member. I'm a part of a secret society. And as you said, average Joe doesn't know. So we look at these folks looking kind of funny, but they're sending signals to each other.
Signals to each other and letting those who are in the know who's really running these organizations.
Sure.
And I will say this too. Okay, so now everybody that covers one eye, and the reason why they do that is because that's the secret sign, the one eye to represent the all-seeing eye, which is representing their version of God, which is not the biblical God, the great architect of the universe, who is supposed to be watching them, overshadowing them. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they're an outright Freemason. It could be, but a lot of the occult and a lot of people who are involved in the Egyptian mystery religions, they do the same thing because that's where Freemasonry gets a lot of their symbolism and teachings from. They're one of the biggest proponents of the One World Religion movement, not just the Vatican and the ecumenical movement and New Age, but Freemasonry is too. And what they've done is they've built their belief system on a multitude of different, quote, religious sources, including the mystery religions of Egypt. So here comes your all-seeing eye, et cetera. That's where it comes from. But then they also will draw from Hindu Vedas. Believe it or not, Jan, they'll also draw a lot of their beliefs from the Quran, from the Muslim community. In fact, now you're going back to the Shriners. If you do the research on this, the Shriners used to be called the Ancient Arabic Order of the Nobles of the Mystic Shrine. After 9/11, when it wasn't popular to be a Muslim at that point, they changed their name to Shriners International. The Shriner Freemasonry, their God is Allah, and that's who they're pledging their oath of allegiance to. The whole Shriners, that's a smokescreen, man. And not only that, what's with the hats that they wear? The hats that they wear are called Fez, which is coming from Fez, Morocco, and they're red because, as the account goes, they were dipped in the blood of Christians that were murdered in the name of Allah. And this is why they also will have the Arabic symbols and the Arabic sword on the front with an Arabic name. And so even a branch of Freemasonry, very popular, Shriners, their God has nothing to do with Christianity. And this is the stuff that, Jan, people need to realize.
Right.
They have done a brilliant smokescreen getting people to think it's just a do-gooders club and they do great things for the community and they'll help you out. Hey, listen, that's what cults do. That's how people get sucked in to other ones. And Freemasons doing the same thing.
If you just joined me, you are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell here. This topic this hour is just a little different, and I think we could label it Satan's Secret Society, Pastor Billy Crone. He's got a 10-part teaching at getalifemedia.com on Freemasonry. And if there are some Masons listening, I know you're at this point really steamed because you don't agree with anything that we're presenting. Sadly, as fact this hour, again, invite you to dialogue with Pastor Crone at that web address because we just call it Satan's Secret Society, to be honest. Billy Crone, because time's getting away, I want to look at the history and we'll do it from the 35,000 level view and do it in literally minutes. But again, you've pointed out in your production and you've mentioned it on air here that it goes back roughly to 1500s, probably early 1700s, a little more serious. And then 1723 is a very important date. Came to America through Great Britain. The British brought it with them and then exploded after the Civil War in America. And you gave an intriguing Civil War scenario. And you even said in your presentation that the enemy of the North and South would set all their differences aside if, in fact, they recognized each other as a Mason. So again, the bonds go deep here, which is intriguing. Sometimes I wonder if the bond between Christians goes as deep as what I'm reading and learning about Masonry.
Part of that strong bond, Jen, is because of the bloody oath that they take. And the bloody oath that they take, like the first degree, quote, having my throat cut across, my tongue torn out, my body buried in the sands of the sea at low water mark where the tide ebbs and flows twice in 24 hours. And then you got a second degree, having my left breast torn open, my heart and vitals taken thence with my body given as prey to the vultures of the air, And again, the third degree, you're taking another one, having your body severed in twain, your bowels taken and bodies burned out. They do this because it's not just an allegiance to the organization above any organization on the planet, including courts of law, but also they are bound to the brotherhood that mean other Freemasons. And it is their bloody oath duty to not just support Freemasonry, but any Freemason in whatever endeavor, certainly in a time of need. It doesn't matter if there's a war going on, and it doesn't matter if this Freemason's on this side and this Freemason on that side. They give the secret sign of distress, the secret handshake. They are instantly bound because Freemasonry, in their belief, supersedes all organizations.
You bring out the interesting fact that obviously this was only for men until, oh, roughly 100 years ago, probably about 1908, 1910 came in. Women suddenly couldn't be a part of this kookiness. Order of Eastern Star, Rainbow Girls, Job's Daughters, Order of the White Shrine of Jerusalem. I am going to play another clip. It's in your presentation. You can find this at getalifemedia.com. This happens to be a branch of women in the UK who are now Masons, and we'll let them explain this in just a moment. Billy Crone, I say, I wish these gals would stick to, I don't know, cooking recipes, exercising, instead of getting dressed up in strange costumes and doing these nutty rituals. These women who are all in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, if not older, going through very, very strange rituals and activity.
They're one of the most secretive organizations in the world.
There are certain secrets that you have to earn.
Famous for unexplained rituals.
Where were you first prepared to be a Freemason?
In my heart.
Describe the mode of your preparation.
My right arms, left breast, and knee made bare.
And they face regular accusations of corruption.
All the men in my family are Freemasons. I'm the only girl to go into Masonry. If a man can do it, so can I.
For the first time, we've been given access inside this highly secretive society to find out the truth behind the intrigue. The Freemasons are a secretive society that practice rituals in a temple and promote brotherly love. Although they have always been associated with men, we've gained access to the two female Freemason groups in the UK, the Order of Women Freemasons and the Honourable Fraternity of Ancient Freemasons.
This looks like any other leafy street in central London, but this is the international headquarters of one of the most secretive and mysterious organisations in the world. And for the first time, they're exclusively opening the doors to us.
This is the Order of Women Freemasons. There's a meeting today for the quarterly communication of Grand Lodge, where only members of a certain rank can attend.
Most Worshipful the Grand Master, Christine Chapman.
And this is the second group we've been given access to, the Honourable Fraternity of Ancient Freemasons.
Right Worshipful Assistant Grand Master, whom do you represent?
Hiram, Prince of Architects, Most Worshipful the Grand Master.
And your duty?
To lay plans, draw designs, and assist the Most Worshipful the Grand Master in the execution of her work.
The female Freemasons were formed in 1908. Their male counterparts have been meeting for at least 300 years. Their practices involve secret handshakes, rolling up their trouser legs, wearing blindfolds, and even nooses around their necks. They are currently headed up by the Queen's cousin, the Duke of Kent. But Freemasons have been accused of favouritism, helping each other rise up the career ladder and covering up each other's mistakes.
Pastor Billy Crone, help us understand what folks have just heard and if they've watched the video, what they've just seen.
What you've seen is the Freemasons, they didn't used to do it for a long time, but they've now allowed women to join the fraternity, kind of their own version as well. And it's even gone beyond that. Again, as we've already talked about, they're also reaching out to the youth.
Yep.
And they're preparing them to be adult Freemasons. And that's again with Dee Millay for the boys, Job's Daughters, Rainbow Girls for the girls. But the women are part of it. And Jen, again, the underpinning belief system of Freemasonry is not just dark and satanic. It's spiritual self-improvement. And when a person doesn't feel like they need Jesus Christ, but they want to show self-righteousness really is what it is, and that they show that they're not that bad of a person, i.e. they're a good person, they should have the ability to, quote, make it to heaven, Again, they call it the Grand Lodge in the sky. Then this foots the bill. And dare I say, you see this mindset all over the place. You got people today, Jan, they may not be a part of Freemasonry, male or female, but they go to church services thinking that they're not that bad of a person. And as long as they help out and stack chairs and do some good deeds, surely God will let them in. Well, that's not Christianity. And you're even in the church. And so here's an organization that makes people's flesh feel good because you could feel self-righteous and prove that you're not that bad of a person. And then when you look at their garb and their ceremonies, that's what it all points to. One of the biggest things you will always see, dare I say, even at the Masonic funerals, you will always see the lambskin apron that they wear. That represents their purity. And it's not purity that we get solely from Christ. It has nothing to do with Jesus. It's through their goodness and by following the teachings of Freemasonry, their good works, that's what that apron symbolizes. Male and female, they all wear it. They also wear white gloves. The white gloves, again, represents the purity that they've done by their own hands. So all it is a false path, a self-improvement, showing people how good of a person you really are through the teachings of Masonry and all these good works that they do for the community. Surely I'm going to make it to the Grand Lodge in the sky. No, you refuse to accept Jesus Christ's love and grace and mercy and his death on the cross. And what's going to happen is you keep that up. Unfortunately, you're going to go to hell. This is the other thing. I've given people more than once in the study this visual. I've been to a lot of cemeteries because I'm a pastor. I've done a bunch of funerals. Jan, I have been pastor on the West Coast. I've been a pastor on the East Coast. I've been in between the United States all over. And now I'm in Las Vegas. And I can tell you, no matter where I've gone in the United States, every single graveyard I've ever been to, it is plastered with Masonic headstones.
Yes.
The men will have the square and the compass. The ladies will have the Eastern Star, which is another one of their organizations, which, by the way, is flat out a pentagram. And there's
right.
a reason for that. Yeah. There's no cross. There's no biblical verse. And so what I challenge people is this. This may sound harsh, but here's what you're looking at. When you go into a graveyard and you see people's headstones, even a husband and wife scenario, husband's got the square and compass on his above his name, and she's got the Eastern Star on hers. You know what they just told you? I'm in hell because they followed the teachings of Freemasonry. Yeah. They rejected Jesus Christ. That's the harsh reality that we're dealing with here, Jan. This is not just a difference of opinions. It's a long string of false paths that Satan has launched in the last days to lead people away from Jesus Christ so they can join him, Satan, in the lake of fire.
Billy Crone, I'm down to about 2 minutes. What do you want my audience to take away from this hour?
What I would encourage them, Jan, is certainly go to our website, getalifemedia.com, watch the studies. You'll see it with your own eyes. We quote and share on tape many former Masons. They admit this is really what's going on. We quote directly from the Masons themselves. This is really what they believe. This is really what's going on. This is serious stuff. Also, I would encourage people there on the website, if you go to getalifemedia.com, right there on the front page, if you look to the left, you're going to see where it says sign up for our newsletter. It's free. Just put your email there because Lord willing, in a couple weeks, we're going to release this in book and a DVD set. And we do not copyright our material. So if you get the DVDs, please make a billion copies. Get this information out as fast as you can. If you know our format as a ministry, after every study, I pop back up on the screen. I invite people to pray and receive Christ their Savior. So it's great evangelism. Get it out as fast as you can. And Jan, we have already experienced that. I'll share with you two testimonies real quick. One guy said this, to whom it may concern, my name is Thomas. And he says, I recently watched your sermons on Freemasonry. I am, or should I say, was a Freemason until last Friday. I've been battling with Freemasonry for a while now. Being a Christian has caused great internal conflict. Watching your sermons on Freemasonry was the final straw, and I want to thank you for taking the time to do that. Wow, just wow. One might say, aren't you worried that the Masons will attack me for sharing the info? He says, I got God on my side. That's all that matters. I started burning a bunch of the items of Freemasonry due to the fact that I felt needed to openly cleanse myself of it all. Thank you. And real quick, one lady said, quote, my husband is giving notice to the Masons. He is leaving this organization. I praise Jesus for this new commitment. Please, Pastor Billy, remember us in prayer and for my husband to grow in Christ. This is what we're doing, Jan. We're getting the truth out because the truth will set people free. And ultimately, as we said at the very beginning, If you're a part of this organization, you need to repent, run, and get right with God. It's a false path. Don't listen to it. Come out from it and receive Jesus Christ, your Savior.
Thank you, Billy Crone. Just because I'm out of time, I'm going to go out of this hour saying that we are in the world, but we're not a part of the world as believers. But our day is characterized by deception, and there is the deception that organizations that do good and help humanity, no matter how dark they might be, are safe and effective. Well, I think we've learned this hour that is not always true. So just encourage you, as Pastor Crone just summed up here, because some are being set free, that you will consider doing that. And I'm mindful of Jesus' warnings that he said, and this was a last day's context, see that no one deceives you. I want to thank you for listening. We will talk to you again next week.
Jesus Redeemer, mighty to save.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Yes, our times are in his hands, and no, nothing catches God by surprise, but he has you on assignment as the church age winds down. He wants you to make sense of our times so that others can see that as events play out today, it is being orchestrated so that all things fall into place.